Here's our TSN hockey insider, Pierre LeBrun. Pierre, we're just talking about Saravelli's article up on TSN.ca and how the NHL is, you know, watching from afar in terms of future revenues and cap hits and all that kind of stuff when it comes to vaccines, but not much we can do right now. You know, I mean, you just got to wait to see how it all plays out.
It is what it is. I haven't caught Frank's article yet, but it's on my list as I sit down this evening here to read for the Leafs game. There's so much over the next few months that's going to be interesting in terms of the vaccines and the rates and when we start to open up more, because it's still hard to predict even now. But I was thinking today, I was on my podcast with Scott Burnside, and we had a question from a listener about, you know, and I actually mentioned you guys. I think you guys talked about this week, about whether it's fair if you get to the league semifinals, you have some rinks with fans in the U.S. and some rinks from the Canadian team still empty, and is that fair and everything? But here's the other thing. We may also get to the league semifinals. Let's say it's, you know, the Leafs or the Jets that come out of the Canadian division. The Canadian team may not come back for the rest of the playoffs.
Right.
I mean, they may, if the border isn't open, there is also a chance that the Canadian team leaves and we don't see them again until the playoffs are over. So keep that in mind, as Ferris. I mean, this is just a unique year, and we're going to have to accept whatever happens, right? I mean, it is what it is.
Yeah, there's not much we can do. And,
no.
You know, even Bill Daly said it, that at this point it's too early to predict where we're going to be. And we're talking, you know, way down the road, but there's a lot that's going to happen between then, you know, in terms of the league and their planning for the draft, welcoming Seattle into the league, right? Like, Seattle's plan as of next September, which means the expansion draft is going to happen. You know, there's a lot that they got to figure out. To your point, what are they going to do come the Final Four? Do they take the Canadian team out? Does the federal government effectively answer that for them? Like, there's a chance the Canadian government just says, we're not doing the cross-border thing. So the Canadian team has to leave.
There's no way. Never mind the 14-day quarantine for coming across the border. There's not even a 7-day quarantine would be the answer in a best of seven. Like, you can't stop the series for that long.
No way.
So it's either the border is open or the NHL gets an exemption or the Canadian team leaves, which is, you know, that's it's pretty out of this world, really, if you think about it.
Yeah, it seems like it could be a reality.
And I mean, there is certain rules, though, for chartering. Like, if you charter, and now charter companies are offering PCR tests, so there might be some wiggle room. Like, it's not just a flat out, like, 14 days. Like, if you charter your own plane and you're not flying, you know, WestJet or Air Canada, just commercial, these teams are, so they're, There might be a way around it if those rules are still in. But the point being is, they may just say, to hell with it. You're staying down south and we're playing.
It's not worth the hassle.
Yeah.
Like, even if they cut it down to 3 days and multitesting, even 3 days in the middle of a playoff series hits a lot. I mean, I guess you could live with 3 days. And again, I'm just, because I know the league has to think of everything here, but what if you, you know, does that mean you go 2-3-2, which the league has hated and has not done in many decades? But do you do a 2-3-2 just for the league semifinals involving a Canadian team? So that if you can cut down the quarantine, that you're only crossing the border twice.
Yeah. Right. Pierre, how is the quarantine and the border, how is that going to affect trades coming up for the deadline? Teams that are making a push to get in, but they can't wait around for it. Like, just how is the trade market going to be affected by all this coming up here soon?
Yeah, super important question, O-Dog. I actually wrote about this Monday in The Athletic, and I said, you know, is the deadline going to be a dud? And I think James Duffy fell off his seat there and wanted to strangle me. But I'm not wishing it. Believe me, it's good for business for us when the deadline is fun, and the deadline period, not just the day of, but the lead-up. They're going to be trades, but I tell you, I talked to a couple of executives for that piece, and when you combine all the factors, so one is the border and the quarantine and the Canadian teams, that's one thing. Two, you got 18 teams right now in LTIR, which is an NHL record in the cap era. 18 teams that are over the salary cap. Every deal that you're looking at right now is apple in, apple out. Everyone. It's really difficult. There's only a handful of teams at the bottom there, like Ottawa and LA, that have cap room, and maybe that'll come in handy for them, you know, if Ottawa's selling. But that's a lot of teams that basically are saying, if we make a move, the exact same amount of money has to go out the other way. Normally, that's not what we see at the deadline. Normally, the deadline, the contenders, the teams with a chance to win the cup, like a Toronto, like a Boston, they're usually adding a bit more in their end because they've got a bit of cap room and the other team is selling. But what I'm saying is, with 18 teams on LTIR, it's a lot of dollar in, dollar out. So that factor. Number three, and this is something another team executive said to me, even some of the teams that are sitting in a playoff spot, and clearly this doesn't apply to the Leafs, but there are teams sitting in a playoff spot who don't have the green light from ownership to add a dime. We're not making money. Sorry. This is your team.
Wow.
So, yep. So when you add all these three factors we just talked about, I think it's going to be a quieter than normal deadline period. There's still going to be moves. I don't want people tweeting at me saying, you said there would be no trades. There will be trades. Okay. Boston needs a D. Philly needs a right-handed D. The Leafs, I think, want a top nine forward. Everyone's going to try and get something done. But when you add it all up over the last 3 weeks, I always say 3 weeks is the deadline period, I think we will have fewer in numbers and lesser in quality than a normal year, in my mind.
Yeah, makes sense, just based on, you know, how you've laid it out. You said about noise. There was some noise made last night in Montreal. You did the game. Not even the 2-1 win. It's more about Stephon Waite being relieved. Any scuttlebutt out of there? Did anybody see that coming?
No.
And obviously, everyone spoke today about it.
Yeah, Noodle, that blindsided everyone. Everyone I spoke to. And by the way, thanks for texting me back during the game. I needed your help on analyzing Carey Price's performance. It's good to have Jamie McLean on your side when you're working at TSN on a broadcast.
Oh, yeah. In a
while. He knows. You would know.
Yes, and that was shocking. And Carey Price himself, I'm told, wasn't told until after the game. Like, there was no lead up in terms of him getting this might be happening. He found out after the game. But when you listen to Mark Bergevin talk to the local Montreal media today, this isn't just about the last few weeks either. I think he talked about a pattern the last few years of Carey Price coming in and out of his good periods and his bad periods, and I think he's thought about this for a while. And remember, he hired Stephon Waite, the goalie coach. He brought him in 2013.
From Chicago.
So this was Bergevin's guy, yeah. And obviously there were some great years there between Stephon Waite and Carey Price, so not an easy decision. Completely did not see that coming. And even Sean Burke coming back into the fray. As you guys know, Sean Burke has kind of wanted to distance himself from the goalie coaching side of things and focus on managing the last few years. But, I suspect when Mark Bergevin sort of laid it out for him, he felt, because he's been pro scouting for the Habs the last few years, he felt that he could help out. Really interesting. By the way, not a big, it's not the headline, but also the first goalie coach is not French in quite a while. I mean, the Habs have had Francois Allaire, Rolly Melanson, Pierre Grou, and Stephon Waite. And so interesting from that perspective as well.
With Pierre LeVun, our TSN hockey insider, we were having a chat earlier about Joe Thornton and how well he is fit in here. And it surprised me. I was a little bit of a skeptic as to what his role would be, how he would look. He's looked very good. And we discussed the likelihood of him returning next year. I'll pose that to you, and I'll add, the Chara angle to it as well. He's back in Boston tonight, and Chara's looked good. He's playing big minutes. Like, they're both the oldest guys in the league, but they're playing pretty well on good teams. What is the likelihood of Thornton returning next year, and if so, to Toronto, and Chara returning, and if so, to Washington?
Yeah. I don't have, because I'm on my phone, I can't Google this. Maybe someone on the show can, but I asked Joe Thornton last spring in the middle of the pause about whether he was definitely going to come back. Remember, the Sharks weren't part of the bubble. And I quoted him on Twitter saying not only did he want to come back, but he wanted to come back for 5 more years. I think that's what I quoted him saying.
Right.
And everyone laughed in the hockey Twitterverse. I got to tell you, I never know with Joe if he's putting me on or not. Like, there might have been a half-truth in there. I mean, he doesn't talk about quitting. I mean, he loves the game so much and just pictures himself playing forever. Now, obviously, that's not going to happen, but I guess my point is, we all assume that he was just coming back for this 1 year, but he's never said that. He's never said this is my last year.
Right.
So, I obviously, with him, and I think the same applies to Chara. Chara really put a lot of thought into it before he came back. It's got to be about, you know, how does this work with my family? Do I have a chance to win? And how does my body feel? And both those guys at that age, that's what they're going through. It really is a month-to-month decision in some ways. You know, how is Thornton going to feel at the end of this playoff run with the Leafs? You know, can he put himself through this again? And if he feels he can, it wouldn't surprise me. Now, if the Leafs win the Cup, out of all that bedlam, which not only we quite the party in Toronto after all these years, but for Joe Thornton, the one missing thing in the Hall of Fame resume, you know, maybe that gives him pause to actually, he doesn't need to play again. But I'm just telling you, when I asked him last year if he was coming back for another year, he said he was coming back for five. So take that for what it is.
Yeah.
Well, he's playing well, too. That's the thing. Like, I just never wanted to get to a point where it's like Jaromír Jagr in Florida, where he was dragging Huberdeau and Barkov down. You know what I mean? Like, they were ready to take that next step, and they were deferring to him, and he had kind of become a caricature of himself. You know what I mean? Like a bit of a sideshow. Everywhere it was Jagr this, Jagr that, but you know, ultimately, the product wasn't as good on the ice. And, I mean, Jagr's still playing. He's literally still playing now.
I know. Like, yeah, no, that's a great point, Noodles. And I don't think that Jumbo would want to, you know, he would have to be comfortable with his level of production and what he's bringing to the table. And here's the thing about, you know, Brian, I totally agree with you the way it seems to me, at least. I'm not in the room, but seems to have fit in with the Leafs. He doesn't even get to do it in a normal year where, you know, he would have those guys at his place all the time on some off nights to do team building stuff. That's who he is. The stories he hates talking about himself, from other teammates, from his time in San Jose, from picking up guys who were traded. He's the one who picks them up at the airport instead of the team services guy. He did that 1,000 times. Getting the guys together for events, they're legendary, and I can just imagine what this year would have been like if the rules allowed for it, right? I mean, it just would have been crazy, and so it's even more impressive that he's fitting in when you consider that he hasn't been afforded the normal layers of chemistry building with his new team.
I even think of the fans, Pierre, looking at him in the glass and warm-up, like they would have been in awestruck of this guy. You know
That's
what I mean?
Show.
Like
the, That's a show.
Yeah.
For kids, for adults, going to, like, I would love to be at the rink watching him play as a Leaf, and I will never get that opportunity unless he returns next year.
Mm-hmm. Brian, there would be 35-year-old men on the glass in warm-up getting a look at him saying, oh, my God, that's Joe Thornton.
Yeah, in a Thornton jersey they just paid $250 for at Real Sports, and you're right. That would absolutely be a show. Got to go see Jumbo play as a Leaf, you know. And
it's a nice incentive for the team, not that they don't have enough. You know, given what's happened in the playoffs the last few years, but to be able to perhaps go deep and win one for that guy, the players in San Jose, every time they got close, it always reverted back, without me bringing up Joe's name, to wouldn't this be amazing for Joe? Like, they just love that guy so much and go through a wall for him. And, you know, again, there's so much already riding in this market on the Leafs and what's happened in the playoffs and obviously the cup drought dating back forever, that you don't really need to add that on top of it. But nevertheless, it doesn't hurt in terms of wanting all these different ingredients to perhaps produce some magic here this year.
Pierre, before we get you out of here, do you know if Montreal even sniffed around the idea of Babcock, or was that not even thought about?
I haven't heard that. No, that doesn't mean that, you know, it didn't happen. I will tell you that, I guess maybe people don't want to buy it because they don't know enough about him. I will tell you that Mark Bergevin is really high on Dominique Ducharme. Mm-hmm. Like, they didn't bring him in a few years ago just so he can hang out. They brought him in because they viewed him as the heir apparent to Claude Julien one day. Now, did we think he'd be in the middle of this season? I don't think so. But that's why they brought him in 2018, is they viewed their next head coach in him, and it is his it really is his job to lose. They gave him a bump in pay this week. He was making, third assistant salary. Now they gave him a bit of a bump as a first year head coach. But, and you're going to say, well, big deal, because it's only for the rest of the year. I agree, but I think it's also, you always try to read between the lines. They're trying to give this guy every chance possible to succeed, and because they hope that he takes this job and makes it his. And there's only one way that's going to happen is he has to steer this season back on track. And I will tell you that the last couple of games have been promising. They're playing with a lot more structure, and you could see the tweaks that he's brought. I mean, it really is different, some of their puck pursuit and what they're doing. Ultimately, I think their downfall will be what it really was always going to be, is that they have depth and they can grind you down, but they don't have enough natural scoring ability in my mind. Maybe gets you in the playoffs. Does it get you an upset win? I don't know. But they think this guy is actually their coach, not just the coach for the rest of the year.
Pierre, before we get you out of here, how about Saturday night, the first star in the Bell Center, Brian Hayes.
Well, I'll give Brian Hayes the first star if he guarantees me either Prescott signs long-term in Dallas or the Cowboys get Russell Wilson.
Both. Brian Both. Hayes Saturday night. Is Saturday night, Montreal. Brian Hayes, first star, please, before you go.
La première étoile, the first star, the visiteur of Maple Leafs de Toronto, Brian Hayes.
Get Russell Wilson down to Big D. I love it. Send it. That's and keep awesome. Dak. The best combo quarterback situation in football.
Dude,
history.
What is this? Dak wants Mahomes money. Can you just cut that?
Yeah, that's like an outrageous ass.
Outrageous.
But his franchise tag is like $37 million or whatever. He's coming off a gruesome injury. He's making $37 million minimum.
One of the most overhyped, overrated things in pro sports is Dak Prescott. I'm sorry.
But, by the way, I don't think the PA announcer at the Bell Center would have been that excited for the first star from the Toronto Maple Leafs. But I have to do some make-believe there. I had to do a little
Yeah, you're right. He wouldn't be so jacked. It'd be pretty dour. But we'll take it. I'll take it. Thank you, pal. Appreciate it.
All right, guys. We'll talk next week.
There's Pierre LeBrun, our TSN Hockey Insider. Speaking of stars, we're going to put our grades in here. We Noodles brought this to our attention earlier, which will be included in my grading because I thought it was great for content.
Yeah.
That coaches grade every single player after
so
every single game.
Stupid.
And our buddy Mike Ross, who's the voice down at Scotiabank, he points out on Twitter, minor league baseball, they have to issue a full report of every player after every game. They play every single day.
No way.
In the minors. Imagine that. Like, you got to send that to Ross Atkins. Ross is like, send me the email. How do you look? Low A ball.
Yeah.
Middle of nowhere.
But that's your job.
That's
your
job.
Is developing those players. And believe me, managers, like, they read them.
Oh, yeah.
Like, as a scout, you put in a scouting report, you sometimes get a call from the manager going, like, what did you see about this player? You said in your report this. Like,
follow up.
Yeah,
my grades for the show have been mailed in, already signed, sealed, and delivered.
You've already sent them in. Okay, there's.
Well, yeah. He's the guy who wants, you know, like, yeah, you just
he's
followed him. Whatever Hayes said.
Whatever.
Is
exactly.
That what you just said? Like,
group,
whatever Hayes
group
said,
project.
Double that
out. Included.
We
that
have to
included.
Get them in for Meg to get things organized.
Right,
by
well,
the way,
Noodles,
I don't think she got a very good grade from me either, so we'll see.
Oh, Megan's getting high grades from me. I think she's been spectacular today. Spectacular.